Field. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop, and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-334-7372.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination. You've been listening to Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. That might have been the shortest show ever, but we're going to work with that anyway and start at the beginning again. Folks, I'm so happy that you're listening to us and helping us to celebrate creating and stories and tuning our imaginations together. Folks, we're going to start off with a piece from American Pouyat, which I should probably, we're going to check on that. I bet I'm probably saying that wrong. It's happened to me before. There's
close enough, Paula.
Close enough. Okay, we're going to start off with a piece. This is from the CD JUHLAT
Festivals.
Festivals. Yes, that's an easy way to say it. This is the first cut off of that piece, Bold as Brass. And we're going to try to get our minds into the brass mood this morning. So here we go on Art Zany Radio. What a beautiful way to start the show, folks. This is Art Zany Radio, and we are talking about that beautiful music. But first, before we begin the show, I'm going to start off with a little bit of an apology. Because if you listen to Art Zany Radio, you know that I struggle sometimes with those pronunciations, especially of foreign words. And today, we are going to be filled with a lot of Finnish words, which I think are some of the more difficult words to pronounce. So just in advance, if you speak Finnish, just know that we're doing our best here. And here's something funny, too, because as I was typing the word pronunciations, I actually mistyped it and typed pronunciations. So even when I'm putting words on the page, I still can't get that right. So my goodness, my mind is and my brain and my fingers and my mouth just can't always seem to come together. And what's really hard about that is I really do want to do it right. And I absolutely want to make our guests feel comfortable and the audience as well to hear the proper way to say a name or a word. So I hope that you can relate to it. And sometimes when I try, the harder I try, the goofier it gets. So we'll see what happens today. And you know, that absolutely is the reason I named the show Art Zany Radio. And I embrace the foolishness of my brain, and my questions always aim to teach and open doors. My connection to the experience of being an audience member is what I want to highlight, and obviously a great supporter of the arts. I don't try to be an expert. I'm just curious and passionate about how art and the imagination connects us and makes the world more understandable, a little less lonely, and obviously more joyful. So I imagine that you're here with us in the studio every time we do the show, and that we're all learning and sharing and inspiring each other. So we are absolutely explorers of the imagination. So we were gonna play a lot of Finnish music today, and I'm excited about that. And we'll probably goof up some of the words, but hopefully you can laugh with us. So we are going to have a magnificent time. I'm very excited to welcome into the studio two members of American Puyat. The first you will recognize, and I think, Paul, this is Paul Niemisto. And Ed, your title in American Puyat?
Founder,
okay.
Player. Operator.
Because you were just here celebrating the CVRO, the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, 40th anniversary.
I'm so sorry.
No, this is wonderful. No, I don't think in all the years that I've done this, I've had somebody who's been in, you know, in close succession like this. But it's because you've got two major events happening, and it's
one happened and one's about to happen.
Exactly. So I am impressed.
Well, don't feel any angst about pronunciation, and you are forgiven for all all mispronunciations. And I want you to try to make me feel uncomfortable. Let's see if that's possible.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't think that's possible. And we are joined as well by a special guest. Tracy Gibbons is here as well. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you very much.
And you are a tuba player in American Puyat, yes?
That is true. I started as the tenor player, and now I'm playing the tuba, so I'm really going down.
I'm not going to comment on that. I was warned ahead of time that this could become a challenging show, and we have to say that Paul's wife, who gave us a little bit of a warning not to go off too silly.
Anyway, Tracy is a veteran of the music world. His roots are in the Iron Range. He's a Finnish American, grew up near Virginia, Minnesota, and he has been around the world quite a bit. He's actually taught for some years and played at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and then has been also in Mexico, where he played in orchestras in his youth, and he's been now in the Twin Ports area, Duluth Superior, for the last dozen years or so, maybe 20 years, I suppose, now. Yeah. Where he's a conductor and a musical leader, and in addition to doing what he does with us.
Well, thank you for coming down and being a part of the show today.
My pleasure.
It's absolutely fabulous. We are celebrating the 30th anniversary year of this Finnish American Brass Band, and you're having a series of concerts this weekend that we're going to talk about. And
right, we just kind of loaded it up because we needed to get this celebration past us, because it's overdue. And Northfield is the most cultural town in this part of the state, in my opinion. And we are the recipients of a wonderful support from the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council. And we want to try to give back if we can, to a certain extent. I want to go back, if you don't mind, to the first piece that we played.
Certainly.
That was that was commissioned by a friend of ours, Jukka Viitasaari, who's a contemporary composer of band music, and he wrote that for us during the time that we were in Finland celebrating the 125th anniversary, I believe. Is that right? Not 150th, is it? Mm. I think it's it's a centennial. I'm sorry.
I think it was
a centennial of Finnish independence back in 2017, and so we recorded it a couple of years ago, and I wanted people to know about him and about that piece. He's a great contemporary composer,
and a great supporter of the Poyot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, now you said it a little differently. Yeah, so, Poyot. Okay. Yeah. I got to get that more Finnish.
Poyot.
Poyot. Boy, it's.
And the problem with it is it's actually not a very legitimate Finnish word. It's a dialect word from Western Finland.
Oh.
So, if you see that word printed and you're a Finn, you say, oh, yeah, that's from out there near Vaasa somewhere on the West Coast.
And it's Poyjat for right. Anybody who is curious. And if you're looking for the music, American has a K in it.
Right, and two I's.
Two I's.
Also dialect.
Oh, did I get that wrong? I did. I have to change that.
Well, wherever it is in your brain, change it, yes.
It might be a challenge. I don't know. But it is, in fact, the 30th anniversary. And I would love to see here how you decided to start, that this was a need, because I think some of your projects always begin with that, and how you became connected with American Poyot. Well,
through accident, a positive accident, a beautiful accident, I managed to make connection with some Finnish musicians fairly early in my career. It was back in the early 80s. I was, through some friendships, I was invited to go over there to do some teaching of American style of band music and to do some brass playing and so forth. And while I was there, I ran into this music, and it's all manuscript. And at first I was very suspicious. I'd say, "Well, this can't be any good. I mean, this has got to be like amateur stuff."
You mean you found some compositions or
for
some
septet? Yes.
Oh, okay.
They were sort of presented to me. Say, "Do you know about this?" And of course, I knew nothing about it. And as I began to remove my prejudices against manuscript music that looked like it was written scrivened by amateurs, I began to see that there was some there's some real music. And so I decided, well, we got to try this out. So I got a couple of Finnish American Finnish American players, at least some Finnish American sympathizers, got together and read some of it, and we decided at that reading session, this group has got to go forward. That was about 1990.
Wow! So what an odd accident, right?
A pleasant accident, and I'm still in touch with the people. Some of them are fairly old right now, but they were like my mentors in this whole business back in the early 80s, and it's just a wonderful memory and history.
That's a great thing, and it's continued for these 30 years.
Somehow, yes.
And Tracy, how did you connect with this group, and at what point did you join?
I joined in 2000, which was about their 10th anniversary, and we went to, we were just preparing for a tour of Finland, so there was no pressure there.
To play the music of the Finnish people to...
especially in manuscript. But yes, it's been since 2000 I've been involved, and it was really by chance. I don't remember how I got the...
I don't remember either.
I don't remember how I got
somebody
introduced.
Somebody knew that you were up there. Somebody mentioned it to me, and I don't know who that was.
And somebody called me and said, why don't you get together for lunch at the restaurant where we have breakfast.
Oh, the Egg and I.
The Egg and I.
Right. That's when Don Hakalut gave you the interview.
That's right. I got my first interview, and it was every bit as disappointing as I always am.
But you came along anyway.
They decided to allow me to dally with them, so that was good.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun in this group, and that's probably what keeps it going for so long.
His role is much more integral than just the being a tuba player or a tenor player. He's also our arranger, and he's done a lot of stuff where we have resurrected old, especially Finnish American music. We found an old archives that hasn't been played in 100 years, and we've brought that around and re-edited it so it's playable, and we've actually recorded all that stuff and published the sheet music for it too. So there are many things that have come about as a profile of American Poya, for which Tracy is personally responsible.
Well, one of the things that's incredibly interesting is that we are able to search out American Finns, immigrants, who put together these pieces that nobody knows. And the Finns are very interested in this, what the diaspora was up to in the United States. And so it's been an honor for me to be in touch with these manuscripts for different kinds of ensembles, and then I arrange it for the traditional Finnish brass septet, or as they term it, the seitsiko. So,
well, let's take that. So you find somebody has a piece that they, I don't know how they would have passed it on, or they played, you know, or grandpa played, or, you know, and then how do you take that and then move that into, you know, composing that for this group? What's the process with that?
Well, we were just in Massachusetts, in Fitchburg, which was one of the early places where Finns settled in the New World. And we got a chance to go to the historical center in Fitchburg, and we viewed many of the manuscripts that Paul had seen years ago and found some new ones. And so for us, when I'm trying to fit something for our group, I know the players very well. I know how they play. And the Finnish septet was one of the standard ways that music was transmitted in early Finland, and so it's a very good thing that we can take these pieces that may be written for organ, or they may be written for woodwinds and brass, and or maybe full concert band, and we might be able to put them into a septet, and we've done that quite successfully for many pieces.
Yeah, that's a process that I can't imagine it making that. So it sounds like it's really important to know the players and their capacities, but you want to be true to the original piece and keep, you know, yes, the melodies and probably the time signature, the key,
everything.
Yeah. And the process that he's talking about is imitative of what the Finns really do themselves, where they would, maybe the piece might originate as a septet, and then later on somebody would rescore it for a bigger band because that was the fashion as the fashions changed. Or vice versa. There was maybe a piece that was written for a larger brass band, which was very fashionable in the 1880s in Finland, and then it was the same composer would rescore it for a smaller septet. So we're not doing anything here that's out of line with what is the tradition.
To take pieces and make it fit to your players.
And our band, which is live, active, and flexible, small enough to move around and do things like recordings and stuff, we can represent that music more easily than a lot of other groups.
And in the original iterations of brass septets in Finland, they were trained musicians that may have come out of the Tsar's army and were sent home to Finland. And then they began to take popular tunes of the day and arrange them for brass septets. So it can go that way as well. For instance, I arranged the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is based on a traditional tune.
Yeah.
And I I arranged it for the septet. We haven't really had a lot of call for that. But
yeah, we're all wondering about copyrights for that.
Oh, that there are no
copyrights on that, okay. On that melody.
All right,
that is
okay.
A traditional
tune. That's a Native American, I think.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. So a lot of things are possible. And this is going to sound kind of like an odd question, but an off-the-wall question. But you guys seem like you can probably maybe help me understand what I'm trying to ask, but I was just thinking about this and thinking about language and accents and music being kind of a language of its own. And if you're playing a piece that originated in a different language, but all your players are, not of that culture, and is it going to sound a little different? Is there something about, if a Finnish person listening to said, that's an American version of that song, is there a way that affects music like it does when you're speaking a language? Or, I may try to speak Spanish, but I'm never going to sound like a native Spanish person.
That's absolutely a brilliant question, because it is probably at the base of my mission as the person who's been the pioneer to go over there and find this stuff. And have, in the course of the last 30 years, learned to speak enough Finnish to keep from getting being embarrassed. And then also have been in love with this septet tradition. My role, and I feel it, is to try to take these colleagues of mine who are mostly conservatory-trained Americans, with a lot of professional experience in jazz and classical music in this country, and try to somehow let them know how the Finns used to play this stuff, in terms of what you're sort of saying. It's like an accent. In other words, it's like what notes are given more weight and what's the note lengths and things, which are contrary to the American conservatory tradition of playing these instruments. It's tough, but we compromise. We come up somewhere in the middle, I'd say. Because I think that the Finns might be embarrassed to hear us trying to imitate them almost in a mocking way. So we try to continue to have an American sound within the context of the Finnish nuance, shall we say. And since we don't have to sing, then that problem goes away.
Well, yeah, I didn't ask the question that way, because that certainly would be hard to get right. I think even as someone who knows some Spanish and hearing someone sing Spanish, it's very hard to translate that as they're singing it, because there's a lot your brain is doing to process what's happening.
I know. That was a great question, by the way, as you were trying to frame it. I think it's very fundamental to our mission.
And also interesting in that, dialogue between musician and the music that we're playing is, this is wonderful music. This is varied. Many of the great composers of Finland, we may not know here, but they all seem to have done something for brass septet. So we've got not only the waltzes and polkas and other dances that would be for the early village use, but also we've got some pretty interesting contemporary, and there's jazz pieces written for us, and they all have that Finnish feeling. And because it's such strong music, I think we recognize a lot of the musicality is really in the music, and it's very innate. Finns are extremely musical people, and they put that into the music in an indelible way, which we try to bring out. It's interesting that there's also different ways of playing. Like if I was an orchestral player in an orchestra, for instance, it's very difficult for orchestral players to come in and play brass septet music, because it's a completely different ensemble, and it calls for a lighter touch. It calls for different sorts of sonorities, and I'm really pleased that over the years I've been granted to be with this group, that I have certainly played many things that are totally unique, that I haven't heard anywhere else in any musical literature, and I'm pretty well versed in that. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say that you can see how big an onus it is if we have to have a substitute come in and cover a part. and it takes a pretty brilliant player to catch on to what we're doing and not stick out like a like an American sore thumb, so to speak. You know, this is a great time to play a piece.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
And we're going to play...
What number?
It's number 5. And this is a polka from a suite written for us by Jukka Linkola, who is a famous, very famous contemporary Finnish composer. Wrote a lot of opera, a lot of concertos for different instruments, and he's also a jazz pianist. And this is a stylized Finnish polka written for us, again, dedicated during the centennial year. And so we premiered it over there, and then we recorded it over here.
And that's from the CD Festival and Celebrations.
Right.
J-U-H-L-A-T. Juhlat?
Juhlat.
Oh, goodness.
Available across the street over at the Paper Petalum.
I want to thank them for making that available. Yes. So let's listen. Goodness, there was some amazing talent in that group. I mean, that was not an easy piece to play.
Jukka Linkola was out for our blood when he wrote that. I don't know what he was thinking we were capable of, but that put us right to the wall. And you know, it has that Finnish polka lilt to it. It's in there. But it's also all this other stuff that's just virtuosic.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. Tell us about your part in that piece.
Well, I'm pleased to be the glue that holds everything together.
So a lot of the players say that, by the way.
Yeah, I kind of wish that folks would have been able to see if we'd had a video on you two as you were listening to that. That was kind of, you were very animated and very, you know, remembering, I think, the piece and the challenge of it.
Well, even though it's a polka, supposedly, it sounds so like Western cowboy music.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. Yes, I said, yeah, I thought so. But it, you know, clearly has just, I don't know how to describe the different layers that it has, because, and like you said, the playing that's required to keep that piece moving forward.
If it's going, you cannot ignore it.
Mm.
It just catches you by the nose and by the ear, shall we say, and pulls you along.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And and there is a lot of great stuff on that CD. And, you know, we've been remiss to tell people because they're probably wondering, yes, I love it. I want to hear it. We didn't tell them where to go this weekend. So let's...
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, let's tell them where to go. So the first...
By the way, we're not going to play that polka this weekend. We have needed 2 weeks to get ready for that.
I would think you have to be precision. That's not only the music, but then the together.
Yeah. For our 30th anniversary, and I told you why we're in Northfield and why we're intensely involved here, because there are really several audiences that we can accommodate just by playing in different locations. We start out tonight at the Cow at 7:00. We're going to play a show there, and it'll involve some of the music from that recording that we just played, and also our new CD of Christmas music.
Right, this is the launch. I'm not sure what we're going to say.
This is the release yes. weekend. Yeah, and it's Christmas music, Finnish Christmas music for brass. It's called Joulusauna, which translates as Christmas sauna, which is part of the tradition of the Finnish family on Christmas Eve. You have a big meal, you go to church for Christmas Eve, and you come home and you have sauna. That's part of every family's tradition. So now, we're reenacting that.
And is jumping in the snowbank, or is that just my husband's family?
No, that's traditional as well. Or if you're...
Or the lake.
Yeah, if you have the possibility of breaking the ice and jumping in the lake, that's the preferred one, of course.
No, we don't do that with tubas or trombone.
Anyway, tonight, and then we're going to do the same show, not the same show, we're going to do a different set of music at the Cow on Saturday night.
And that's also at 7 p.m.
That's also at 7. And then the other things we're going to be doing... On Sunday morning, we're going to be playing prelude-type music and with the hymns at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church on 3rd Street at 8:30 and 10:45. But in between those two, there's going to be a mini-concert starting at around 9:30 at the St. John's Hall, where we will do some more of the premieres, including the one of Daniel Kalman.
Oh, yes, and we need to talk about that, because I think that is really an exciting, because it's truly a premiere. And so,
yeah, I mean, we can't play a recording because it hasn't been played yet. We're going to start working on it in about an hour.
And so that, for folks that are interested in hearing that, that's at St. John's Lutheran Church on 3rd Street. Is that during the 9:30?
At the 9:30 show, yeah. I don't think we're going to get to doing any of Dan's pieces in the services. However, there's another concert in the afternoon on Sunday. That's at 3:00 at the Grand Theater. These are all free and open to the public, by the way. And that's being sponsored by 51 North. They wanted to collaborate with us. They wanted to have a music party, and we wanted to have a celebration. And so we just got together and said, "Well, we'll provide you with a celebration, and you just provide us with an audience." And I think we're all going to do well. And that piece will be played for the second time that day on Sunday afternoon at 3:00.
That sounds amazing. And so let's talk about the piece. Dan Kalman, for folks who don't know, is an incredible composer, lives here in Northfield, does all kinds of different music. I mean,
yes, his career is, I mean, he is struck out as an independent music maker. I mean, as a composer, that's what he does. And he writes all kinds of things for different people. Quite a bit of school and college music, but I know he also has a good roots in choral music, so he's written a lot of choral pieces as well. He wrote this for us. I wanted to do something for the 30th anniversary, and I wanted to do something for Northfield, and that's how this thing started. And I sent him a bunch of our CDs to listen to, and he did some studying and did some research, and he decided to use a name that's in my world of activities, Vintage. And he calls them Vintage Dances. And, of course, that would mean, another way to put it would be like Respighi's Ancient Airs and Dances and something like that. And it has the same kind of context in that he's recreating old dances. And in this case, it's dances that are from the Baroque era, and then some are from the Finnish era, the tango, for instance, which you wouldn't think of as a Finnish dance. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that. And then also there are some others, a polka, and particularly nice is a circus march. Sorry about that. And so there are all these different traditions, and they're in his style, which is contemporary tonal, which means he's usually in a key you can identify, but don't expect to stay there very long. He moves along. Some of them have lots of transitions and so forth. But we're going to have fun figuring out which end of this music is up, and we'll do that very shortly.
And so that's a very exciting thing. And to have hopefully someday this will be recorded, a piece that you can include on an album in the future. But for now, people need to either go to the Sunday event at the Grand Event Center at 3 p.m. That's the gala anniversary hosted by 50 North. And so that Dan Coleman piece, Vintage Chances, will be there. Or you can visit them on Sunday morning. Listen for the Dan Coleman piece at 9:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church. But also you'll be a part of the services.
Right. And we don't know when we're going to ever get a chance to do a real studio recording of this. But I know that you're engaged with a videographer who's going to do a documentary about our 30th anniversary. And so there'll be a lot of taping going on during the weekend. And out of that may come some good cuts of the Coleman's piece. And if they are, we'll probably put them up on Facebook or YouTube or whatever for people to enjoy.
So let's talk about, we know that you're from the up north, Duluth, is that right, area?
Yes,
and so where do the players come from? They're
all over the place. those of you who are real old Northfield denizens may remember a time when Russell Pesola was the band director here. This is back in the 60s and 70s. And he moved out to become the band director at Concordia in Moorhead, which is where he and his wife live now in that area. And so that's the furthest west we go. Denise is our cornet player. Russ is kind of a bit retired now. He's getting on, and it's getting harder for him to play. Both Tracy and Stacy, they're both names that could be either gender, and they're both men, are from the Duluth Superior area. Stacy is our E-flat soprano cornet player. Roger, who normally plays tenor with us, is from the cities. And we also have Adam, who's from New York, I think Detroit Lakes area, New York Mills, is going to be playing with us on this weekend. And then Brian Borofsky, who is on the faculty at St. Olaf, and I are both from Northfield. So that about covers it. We're all over the place.
Yeah, it sounds like a really exciting weekend. I bet it's been a long time since you've been together to play as a group.
We did the Atasca County Fair in September, so that's the last time we played.
Well, and the intensity of working with creating this Christmas CD, that we did that over a period of 3 days at the beginning of August, and the intensity still hasn't worn off. It was such a wonderful experience.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So intense.
I relate it to the birth of a child.
It was like birthing a child.
I'm like, for a man to birth a child, that's as close as I can think of.
Maybe we're going off the rails now. Tell me what that means.
That's the Zany part.
Yeah,
it just means it was so intense.
It was
so intense, and it was so, and there was so much concern going on at the same time. There's a parallel there.
And the end result is so alive and satisfying. It's just a marvelous thing.
It is a very beautiful. I hadn't realized that it was just that recently recorded.
Yes,
and I was able to, again, at our friends at Paper Pedalum have copies. Where else would folks be able to get copies if they're interested?
CD Baby, Amazon. There's a whole bunch of the internet sources that would have it as well. And I have them, if somebody wants to email me, I'll pop something in the mail to them.
Perfect, because it is absolutely a varied and wonderful, and I think it's, although it's finished Christmas music, I think you told me that most people won't know, except for maybe a Good King Wenceslas, the songs that are on here.
Yeah, you may want to, that would be the next one I suggest you play. It's about 6 minutes long, so you may want to cut it out at some point. There is some repetition, so if you want to do that at some point, that'd be great to get a taste of how this recording came about.
I was thinking I had picked either the May We Rejoice or the, I'm not going to say this, the Let Go of Your Mundane Worries. I love that one too.
Yeah, Those are good. They have singers in them too. We have a couple of singers with us. You choose whatever you want, my dear. You had a chance to hear it, so you go ahead and pick the ones you really want to do.
I did. Where do we begin? Let's let go of our mundane worries. How about that?
Let's do that.
That's number five. So let me get that queued up so we get that going. And I love that the CD player is working. I don't know. That just kind of makes me happy that we've got access to the CD player.
Old technology.
Yes. And this is probably one of the first times it's been played, right? Over the air.
I think it probably is.
This is very exciting, folks. And
certainly, I hope it's not the last.
No. American Bouillat. No?
That's good.
Okay, we'll go ahead with that. And this is cut number five, called Let Go of Your Mundane Worries. Going to play a portion of that again.
That was the first verse.
Okay, that was also quite extraordinary. And were the singers there with you in studio?
Some of it was done. So the choral stuff was done in real time, and some of the singing of the soloists was post produced. But we were all together during the recording just to make sure we got the tempos right and things. Yeah. This is just such an example of the mood that is eminent in Finnish Christmas spirit. It's kind of magical and kind of peaceful, and it's kind of
crystalline.
Yeah, and almost sacred. I mean, it's a more sacred feeling. It has very. I mean, there is not that there isn't any other kind of Christmas music, but that's the one that epitomizes. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done it. It is lovely. And this captures the mood.
And I think what I was excited about was in the notes. You had a little translation of some of the words, and it says, "A lovely Christmas is already inviting us. While memories are great, could anyone be cold now? When you sense warm, gentle tenderness." And isn't that what we all want during this season?
It's great.
And maybe that's good to remember before we launch into the season, that's probably what it's really all about.
Yes. And isn't it great to have this lovely music to discover for the first time and with these wonderful sonorities?
Who can't like that?
It's just, right.
And that's... Elina Koivusaari, who's the soloist, and she's an expat living up in the Twin Cities and is a professionally trained singer. And
She's a glorious voice.
And she's got a little bit of a pop flavor to her style, which is all right, you know, it fits. So, and this is a more contemporary hymn, too. It's not so old.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I, you know, I can say that everything on the CD is, you know, just equally as enjoyable and really, you know, it's fun to listen to something where it's not the holiday music or the you know, that you would know, but you get a sense of that. You can feel that.
Yes.
You know it's in there.
Yes.
What is it that makes, is there a similarity, something that lends its something musically that is it the time signature?
I think it's the mood that's there. This is just from my own personal experience. And for one thing, you have to remember that it's so dark at Christmas time in Finland. I mean, it's really dark. and so lights and candles and anything that's cheery and magical and ethereal is welcome. And so Christmas parties, Christmas celebrations, Christmas church services, all these things are highly regarded and they're very important.
Mm-hmm. Is there something musically that we can, you know, think about being consistent across cultures for this time of music, time of the year?
Well, I was thinking as we were listening and as you were discussing this, that when most people think of brass, they think of something that's really quite overpowering. But one of the great things about the music that we are playing on this Christmas CD is it's this wonderful, soft, silvery sound that I think communicates beyond cultures. And it is received in the way that it's played, which is gentle, which is crystalline or ice-like or, you know, sometimes it's busy, but it's always very fluent and very engaging.
Another answer to your question is maybe there aren't so many parallels. I mean, American Christmas music is kind of from three or four different derivations. One of them is, of course, traditional English Protestant Christmas songs and hymns. Another one is from Hollywood and the recording industry and Mel Torme and those guys. And then another one is the ho-ho jollies that we get, you know, trying to make the children happy with Santa Claus and elves and things. And so not much of those gets paralleled over. Not that the Finns don't sing traditional American German hymns for mm-hmm. Christmas. They do, but they also have this stuff. This is their own. And it is different. It is not so easy to find a parallel to a piece that we just heard.
Yeah, perhaps we should play a sample of another one to give
sure.
people... I don't know if you have an idea.
Oh, I have one.
Do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
This is where they import something, but then it becomes embraced by the Finns. This is number 11.
Okay.
And this is the Elina again with Eva singing together on a piece that was first published in Germany, but is now totally embraced by the Finns. And it's about Santa's elves.
It's the parade of the Christmas elves, which do you want to say the Finnish word?
Jolo. Totten
parat.
Tonto parati, yes.
That's the one.
Elf parade, yes.
Yeah, let's listen and get another
this
piece.
This is a different kind of mood.
And this is from the American Puyat.
Christmas album.
Christmas album called Joulusauna.
Joulusauna. Just released.
Just released, exactly.
Jopi valakki ja punatakki on on juhla kuntoon laitettu, ja nenäniina taitettu, on takataskuun laitettu. On ta tulessa, niina kerrassa, nähtävä kerran vuodessa, kun joulu kiireen tuodessa, myös juhla mielen tuo. Pyörinä, pyörinä, taukoa, ja itse joulupukki ratsastaa, katsastaa joukkoon, rivitontun portojen suora on valkoinen. Tonttu joukko huomio ja katse oikeaan. Joulupukki komentaa jo pulkat pakkaamaan. Kiire jo on, kiire jo on. Parat vilkkaa valjastaa jo porotsa.
Another really fun piece, and just beautiful vocals. Wow, that's just astounding.
Yeah, Eva is another expat in the cities that we've known for years, and we've actually recorded them earlier with us back about 15 years ago, and they were willing to jump in on this project, and we're so happy. They brought along some other choristers too that make a larger group on some of the cuts.
And not all the pieces have vocals. A lot of them are instrumental.
No. Yep.
Talk about how you selected the pieces for this CD. It's the first time that you've done Christmas music, right?
Yeah, this was both tough, and then also it kind of was sort of evolved naturally. It started out by having some of our friends in Finland who do arranging send us some Christmas arrangements that they had done. Most of them are medleys. We have several medleys on the recording, and they sent them to us just as a gift, and we used them in some Finnish American Christmas celebrations up in the cities for a few years. So we had those sort of in the bag; they're ready to go. And then when we got involved with Eva and Elina, then I spoke to our dear friend, professional arranger and brass specialist Esko Häkkinen from Helsinki, who did these pieces with them, for instance, the one we just heard, and also the one before that. And he did these just for us for this recording. And then that takes care of just about all the stuff. And we have more than we actually put on the CD. We had probably another half dozen that we could have put on, but we just had to leave them off.
It's really a beautiful CD, and so I congratulate you on, you know, having this out, celebrating 30 years, which is kind of amazing that you've been together that long and been making music for Finnish brass music. And I'm wondering if you know, being involved in this, and it sounds like immersing yourself in the music, the culture, the people, what does this music teach you about the Finns, and you know, how has it affected your other musical experiences for both of you?
Well, I can say that this repertoire that we play is so varied and so lovely in most of its aspects. I can't think of anything that's not lovely. It is something that has deepened my appreciation for all music, just to be able to invest yourself in these pieces and with these new arrangements and with these absolutely fabulous Finnish arrangers that we are pleased to be involved with. It's just it's deepened my appreciation of every part of music, just being a part of this group.
Mm. I would imagine that you can take what you learn and take it back and, you know, think about looking at something with a new perspective.
Yes.
And, well, I think that this music is, of course, is so indigenous to me now over these years. And so that's just, I don't even think about that part of it anymore. But one of the things I guess I have to be grateful for is that I'm not a young man. I'm not a really old man yet, but you know, people of my age will tend to start thinking about putting the horn away.
Mm.
And I haven't. And I don't think that I've lost my quote-unquote touch in terms of being able to play this stuff. And so it's, for me, it gives me tremendous satisfaction to still be in the game. And so that's something that that I'm grateful for. As far as its perspective on other music, I think that finding the elements, the finished elements of this music, the search for those elements, has made me search for those elements in other music as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Putting it in an ethnic context. So, like, what does Mendelssohn supposed to sound like? What does Respighi supposed to sound like? And trying to find out what the inside of that is all about.
Yeah, you were going to add too, Tracy.
I was just going to agree with him that this is such ear-opening music for us that it opens all kinds of associations with other composers.
I think that is an amazing thing when you can do that, and it's because you've made these connections and spent the time to be with this music and to play it and to really try to understand it. It's glorious and wonderful. So I'm really thrilled. This has really been great getting to know it. You know, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about American Pouyat on Art Zany Radio.
Talked about just about everything else.
I know we have, and now it's finally time, right? After 30 years of being together, and folks can come down to the Contented Cal.
Tonight, 7.
7 o'clock tonight, that's Friday the 19th. And then
tomorrow at 7, Saturday.
And then at St. John's Lutheran Church on Sunday.
Two services and also a mini concert in between.
And that's at 9:30 for the mini concert. And then Sunday at the Grand Event Center on the 21st is the Gala Anniversary hosted by 50 North.
3 o'clock, and we're hoping to have some of our ex-players, or I should say our emeriti players, come down to be around. There's some of them are in the area, so they're going to drive in.
It'll be a delightful weekend. I hope it's very successful and that people continue to support you, purchase the CDs, and be an audience member.
That means a Merry Christmas in advance, and may everybody do well.
Beautiful. Folks, I think we'll end right there. That's beautiful. Folks, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show and helping us to enjoy our imaginations. I hope that you add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-887.
The